The scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of John, the 9th chapter, beginning at the first verse. And if you'd like to follow along, it's in your sanctuary Bible on page 1061. We encourage you, if you don't have a Bible at home, to take one with you from here and make it your own. Listen to God speak to you in it. John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." This is God's word.
Man was trying to cross the street. But just as he stepped off the curb, a car comes screaming around the corner, headed straight for him. So he starts to walk faster, thinking he can get across the street before the car arrives. But just as he starts to walk faster, the car changed lanes, and it's still coming right toward him. So now he turns around and wants to go back to the curb where he started. But the car changes lanes yet again, and he's still headed on a collision course for this man. Well, by now, the car is so close, and the man is so scared, he just freezes right in the middle of the road. He doesn't move. The car comes right up to him and almost hits him, but right at the last second, it swerves, screeches to a halt right next to the man. The driver rolls down the window of the car. The driver is a squirrel. The squirrel says to the man, "See, it's not as easy as it looks, is it?" Some of you will figure that out later. Now, I mentioned that story for a couple of reasons. The first one is I thought it would be fun, and it was. But some things just seem so obvious and so easy. They are so easily explained. We're convinced that we know the answer before the question is even stated. This is the case with the disciples in John chapter 9. But they answer, or the answer seems so obvious to them that they didn't even ask the right question. John chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus has just been to the Feast of Tabernacles, where he has declared himself the light of the world, that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. We covered this together a few weeks ago. Then Jesus and his disciples come up to a man on the street who is in total darkness. He's in total darkness because he is totally blind. When the disciples see this man, they ask Jesus a very interesting question. They say to him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, this sounds like a strange question to you and me, but it would not have been a strange question for the disciples at all, nor anyone in the first century who happened to be Jewish. The typical mind believed that if a person had a serious disease or some serious disability, that there was a logical, spiritual explanation for it. And there were one of two possibilities. Either the person himself had committed some sin against God, and the disability was their punishment for this sin, or the parents of the person had committed some sin, and the disability was the punishment being visited on the children of the sinning parents. It was commonly believed. So they asked Jesus, "Who's to blame for this man's condition? Is it the man himself, or is it the man's parents?" A reasonable question if you happened to believe that sort of thing. But the text says that the man was blind from birth. He was born blind. Now, if he was born blind, and if his parents were not responsible because of any of their sin, then it must mean that this man had sinned prior to his birth. That's exactly what they would have assumed, that he had actually sinned in the womb. So either his parents sinned or the man sinned. If the parents hadn't sinned and this man had been born blind, then the only explanation would be that he had sinned before he was born. Now, I don't know what sins you can commit in the womb, but I'm sure these people knew and could have told you. So the disciples state the question. Jesus answers it. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Now, this is the perfect example of why Scripture must always be understood in context. And you get into a lot of trouble, and people have gotten into a lot of trouble by not doing that. Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. And someone could take that verse and say, well, apparently some people aren't sinners because this man didn't sin and his parents didn't sin. But of course, Romans 3:23 says all have sinned, doesn't it? But you'd be amazed at how many people will take a verse like this out of context and then force it to say something or mean something that it doesn't even say. In the context, Jesus is saying neither this man nor his parents sinned some specific sin that led to his blindness. That's what he's saying. And he's saying that this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. That doesn't mean that God in eternity past picked out this unfortunate soul to inflict blindness on. It means that in God's sovereignty, this man's natural blindness is going to result in the manifestation of God's work and God's glory. Could God have prevented this man's blindness? Certainly he could have. God is sovereign over all events, but he chose not to because he had another purpose in mind. In fact, no matter what happens to us, a question that we should never ask is, why did God allow this to happen? It's a question that shouldn't be asked because it really has no answer. The answer can never fully satisfy because we can never be certain that we have the answer. The question should rather be, what does God want me to do as a result of what has happened? It's been said, it's not what happens to me, but what happens in me as a result of what happens to me that matters. I think that's true. This man was born blind. That was a fact. Jesus was not going to engage in meaningless, senseless, pointless debate about some superstitious belief. His concern was what can be done now for this man who is blind. How can he be ministered to now? And how can God be glorified through it? In verse 4, he draws it all together. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. There are only so many opportunities available to do the work that God has called us to do. Jesus calls this time day because it would have been generally understood that this is when the majority of work takes place. It's true even today. Now, I know some of you work at night, and that's perfectly fine, but the vast majority of work is done during the daylight hours. And in an agricultural society that did not have electric lights, probably 95% of the work was done during the daytime when you could see. At night, it was impossible because there just wasn't enough light to see. So, as long as it is day, we have the opportunity and privilege to do what God has called us to do and assigned us to do. Night refers to the time when we can no longer work. Now, of course, in its immediate context, that's just a reference to nighttime. It's hard to work then. You can't see very well. But in a metaphorical sense, Jesus is saying that there will come a time when you can no longer work. That could be death, or illness, or disability, or even missed opportunities. Now, what does this have to do with the blind man? Jesus is saying, let's not be concerned so much with why the need is there. Let's just recognize that there is a need and work at meeting it. Let's not figure out who's to blame for the need. Let's just ask ourselves how God would have us minister in this situation. Finally, every need is an opportunity to bring glory to God and manifest His work. It's one of the great privileges of life to be God's servant. It's one of the great privileges of life to be God's servant. We should look for opportunities to serve, not avoid them. We should welcome them when they come, because you know, sooner or later, it will no longer be day. It will be night. And when it's night, the privilege of serving God on this earth will be over. I love what the late W.H. Auden said. He said, "We're here on earth to do good for others. What the others are here for, I don't know." Do you realize that our very salvation is the result of Jesus' willingness to serve? John 10:45 says, "For the Son of Man, for even the Son of Man, even God Himself, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Where would you and I be if Jesus had the all too typical attitude of service of, "Oh, let somebody else do it. I'm busy." Where we would be if He had that attitude is we would be condemned for eternity. The disciples of Jesus were servants. We are disciples of Jesus, so we should be servants. They've always served. They always should serve. Let's not wait until it's night when it's too late to serve. And you know something? Night will be here soon enough. Let's serve while it's still day, when the opportunities abound. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that Jesus Himself was the model servant. He came into this world not so that He could be served, but so that He could serve. And He did serve, giving His life that we might receive the forgiveness of sins and know the promise of life eternal. We are so thankful that He had the heart and mind and attitude of a servant, and that our very salvation has come because of His willingness to serve. May we follow His example as disciples who seek to follow Him as Lord. May we understand that service is a non-negotiable part of the life of a disciple. May we not avoid opportunities to serve, but may we seek them out and welcome them when they come. And even as Jesus said in this passage, and even as He implied for all time, that when we serve, we provide an opportunity for the glory and the work of God to be manifested. We pray that You would use us as Your servants, and that You would remind us every day that it's one of life's greatest privileges to be a servant of the living God. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.